Hello, my name is Chip Lang, and you are listening to Total EM. We are back with podcast number 193, this time to talk about ibuprofen and the dangers of COVID-19 rumors. This may feel like we are becoming a COVID-19 podcast, and in some ways I apologize for that because I know there's plenty of other medical information to talk about, but at the same time I want to give timely information because this is something I'm constantly seeing and constantly being exposed to, and I know others are as well, of course. This is the current healthcare situation, and you know, maybe in a few months this will all no longer matter, hopefully, and that will be the end of it. But for right now, I want to make sure to go over this information because there are some key highlights and I think some information that will carry on past the COVID-19 pandemic. And a big part of that is about the rumor side and misinformation. Because no matter what, with any healthcare crisis, or you know, even when there's not a crisis, just anytime in healthcare, we run into issues where there is misinformation, and the misinformation seems to spread even faster than the facts. And one case I'm seeing this a lot is with ibuprofen. Ibuprofen is unfortunately being scrutinized right now for what kind of is a silly reason, is a good example of how the media gets ahead of itself and how information can spread rapidly, even when incorrect and fact-checked. But I use this as a point not to show necessarily that the media is bad or fake news or those types of things. I'm talking about it more because I want people to understand that there are some real limitations and we have to be vigilant and understanding of what's going on and how to better approach this so we don't have this happen over and over again, because unfortunately there are a lot of rumors and there's a lot of misinformation surrounding COVID-19, just like I would suspect with any other healthcare issue. But right now, I'm getting asked on a daily basis if it's safe to use ibuprofen because of how it's been taken. Even though this has been a couple of weeks since this was first announced, I still get asked on a daily basis about the safety of ibuprofen, just like I get asked about other treatments and regimens and stuff like that. I decided not to talk about the other treatments that are being discussed right now with COVID-19 because I know that's going to constantly evolve and the data is coming out every single day about what's safe, what's not, how does it work, is it effective? That's something that I don't want to cover, and I think other podcasts are going to cover more, because that is something that is rapidly changing. Every couple of days, you're going to see something different. So I want to stick with something that right now seems pretty stable, and I doubt there's going to be evidence to show otherwise, at least for now. And again, you may, if you're listening to this a long time from now, double check and see if the sources that I'm citing still support it. But I'd imagine at this point they will, and I'll do my best to update anything on the blog post if it does look like it's changed significantly. So if we do find out that ibuprofen is no longer safe, then we can talk about it there. So in summary, what I'm mentioning, and as you can kind of allude to by this, is that ibuprofen most likely is actually very safe to use. But I do want to dive more into what happened and how this came to be in the first place. So what first occurred is back on March 11th, researchers from the University Hospital Basel in Switzerland and Aristotle University in Greece had a letter that was published in The Lancet, which became misinterpreted by some media sources as a study. And what it was a letter that was talking about basically some theoretical concerns, and one sentence mentions how medications like ibuprofen can increase angiotensin-converting enzyme 2, or ACE2. And the reason why this is a concern is that SARS-CoV-2, or the virus that causes COVID-19, binds to their target cells through ACE2. And if you have increased ACE2 receptors with ibuprofen and other medications that we could talk about separately, but with that occurring, this could facilitate infection and potentially make it worse. Even the letter, they say this is a hypothesis, and they emphasize that this is more of an opinion without strong evidence. But what happens is 3 days later, on March 14th, 2020, the French Ministry of Health publishes a warning against the use, citing serious adverse events occurring in possible or confirmed cases, which that day became more widespread thanks to a tweet by the French Minister of Health, Olivier Véran. And as a result, the media picks this up really quickly and information is disseminating across the world with lack of strong evidence. And it's hard to know where this information comes from, these quote-unquote serious adverse events in quote-unquote possible or confirmed cases. The big thing is when you try and fact check the story and try and look at different sources and try and find where this comes from, there's a lot of stories that may be the source, but a lot of it's anonymous or not really well cited, and it's hard to really track down what is factual in all of this. But let's just say for a moment that the stories are true, the anecdotes that are there help point towards, hey, this is factual and correct, and that we are observing some sort of trend here. Well, at this point, they are truly anecdote at best. They are someone's story who is basically a one-off example. And anecdotes do not necessarily make any sort of facts or true information. We have to be suspicious of it at this time. The reason why I emphasize that this is anecdote and not fact or, you know, strong evidence is because nothing's controlled in this scenario. This isn't a study where we can eliminate other factors and we can look for compounding issues and confounding variables. And instead, all we get is this potential of a quote-unquote serious adverse event, which, again, we're not even knowing which patient specifically this is coming from. There's some theoretical idea of where this may be coming from, but I'm not even going to cite it here because the evidence is so weak. And so as a result, what happens is that we get people who get very anxious with this and very concerned about with what's going on, but we don't have the support behind it at this point. Although organizations initially like the World Health Organization or the WHO supported this opinion to avoid ibuprofen, they have since changed course. The WHO later published a tweet on March 18, 2020, saying that there is no longer a recommendation against the use of ibuprofen. The Food and Drug Administration, or FDA, the National Health Service, or NHS, and even Dr. Anthony Fauci, who is the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, or NIAID, have all agreed that there is no scientific evidence to support the above hypothesis regarding ibuprofen and that it could be used for fever and pain relief. However, the damage has already been done because people are still out there. Like I said, daily, I alone am getting asked this question. I'm sure if I'm getting asked this, it's getting asked everywhere else too about, is it safe to use? Because people don't get the follow-up information usually. You don't get a lot of media around the fact of, oh, we made a mistake. You know, it ends up being in some little headline or some, you know, letter to the editor or something. You know, there's something along the lines where maybe someone mentions, oh, we made a mistake, but it doesn't get as widespread media as the initial. And again, the damage has already been done. It's hard that once you have something in your mind to be able to get rid of it, because that initial information gets seeded well into your brain. And when you try and have information that is different from it, we have a harder time accepting the new information, whether or not it is correct. Just think back to other times when you've been told something that you find out later in your life is not true. Think about all the things that you learned as a kid that were sometimes oversimplified or maybe avoided basic facts, or we find out something different later in life. We realize that it is much harder to introduce that new information and that instead we are stuck with what we initially find as the facts. And so the original fact, quote unquote, in this case, is that ibuprofen is potentially dangerous and that we need to use acetaminophen or elsewhere in the world, paracetamol, same thing. In the end is that we're finding that, again, quote unquote, facts become really hard to fight against and they become seated in our minds. And so even when new information comes across from reputable sources that say, hey, there's no evidence in this, people are still going to avoid it. And the reason why this carries over outside of just this pandemic alone and this crisis is that when we do have situations of crisis and concern and when people are already on edge, they'll take the information in quickly without as much fact-checking. It's why I get nervous when a lot of medications are being suggested right now to be used to treat COVID-19 because the evidence is really lacking behind them yet. I'm not saying that they aren't going to work or that the small studies that we currently have are not good. It's just that we need more data before we can really support something. So when we have something that is truly anecdotal at best and says that, hey, this is what we should be doing, I get really nervous with that. I can see the downstream effects from it. I want to give an example just for a moment outside of ibuprofen as far as other rumors that are being spread with COVID-19 that are leading to harm. And one example is regarding two people in Arizona who took chloroquine phosphate after hearing that it could help treat COVID-19. I will admit that the version they use is a medication that is put in aquariums, but it's the same basic compound. Now, given there could be other things that came up, I'm not saying that this is a perfect example, but it goes to show the issues that occur with crises and when people take information in too quickly. So they take this medication that's used to treat the aquariums, given it's not fit for human consumption, I would assume, but it is still chloroquine because they saw that chloroquine could be used because they looked at media rather than being able to get the information that, hey, this isn't completely validated yet, but they take that in, they consume it, and the man ends up dying and the woman requires intensive care. This is, again, when people will get harmed because information spreads too quickly about things that aren't well supported yet. Furthermore, I can see potential secondary effects to these. Let's go back to ibuprofen again. Again, that was just a quick example of another issue that I'm seeing that pops up. But the downstream effects that I end up seeing with ibuprofen is I have a lot of people right now who will not treat their symptoms with ibuprofen because of the theoretical concern. And they don't realize in most cases that it's theoretical. And sometimes maybe they do see the follow-up information that, hey, there's not good evidence for it, but the damage again has already been done. So what happens is like scenarios I've seen multiple times now in the past couple of weeks. Caregivers have an ill child and, you know, they're trying to treat the fever and pain with acetaminophen, alone, and the acetaminophen does not seem to be helping. Or maybe they've run out of it, or maybe they didn't even have it in the first place. But rather than treat it with ibuprofen that they could get or have on hand, they're only using that acetaminophen or nothing at all. So what do they do next? Well, when the child is getting worse because they're not treating the symptoms, then they come to the emergency department. And now this exposes them to infections, including COVID-19. And you may say, well, usually you're not necessarily getting exposed. And that may be true. And especially right now, we're trying to avoid waiting rooms and having people pile up that are sick with symptoms. But there is still the risk of exposure just from coming to the emergency department. But we have another risk that is making things even harder, and that is the lack of personal protective equipment, or PPE, and people having to wear what should be disposable PPE for long periods of time, which also leads to an increased risk of cross-contamination. So now, when I normally wouldn't be wearing a mask going patient to patient, I have to wear this mask now. And when I wear a mask from going one room to the next room, well, if inadvertently there's contact with it or something happens along the way otherwise, now the virus that was somewhere on the mask or other places of PPE now comes into contact with that patient or caregiver, and we lead to more spread. So this is a real concern. This is something we have to keep in mind as we are moving forward with this. So again, ibuprofen, from the current evidence, looks safe. There's nothing to suggest otherwise of strong evidence. Even if we include the anecdotes, that is not strong evidence. And we have to be working on fact-checking and confirming sources while avoiding the spread of misinformation. I feel like this is one gigantic soapbox, but again, we are seeing this. And I know other people are seeing this too. And I wanted to have a single one-stop shop kind of place for us to be able to go to have this information. So again, if you find this helpful, please share this and please let other people know so that way we can help move this information in the correct direction, help provide an accurate source of details, and a better understanding of how this even occurred in the first place. Please check out the podcast and go to the blog post. Again, it's podcast and blog post number 193. This is at totalem.org. And let us know if there are other questions or other things you want us to discuss in the coming weeks. Again, a lot of this I know is going to be COVID-19 for a while. I hope you're okay with that. If there's something else you want us to discuss instead, make sure to send that to us. But until next time, continue to provide total care everywhere.